Mashiach Paruach, of course, is an Azkara in Shmoneh Esrei that we begin in Shmini Atzeres, and that's an Azkara which is indeed Likuva. In Shulchan Aruch, Arachayim Kuf Yadalit, if a person fails to do so, he has to repeat the Shmoneh Esrei. They're just Chazra, the simple Prote Dinim, that if a person is in the middle of the Bracha, and all of a sudden he realizes that Mashiach Paruach was not recited, so you can say it at that point in the second Bracha of Shmoneh Esrei. The Mishnah Berurah does write that if you're in the middle of a phrase, you should finish that theme. So if you say, for example, Umakayim Emunaso, and you realize, ooh, I forgot to say Mashiach Paruach, so then, say Mashiach Paruach then, and finish the phrase, Umakayim Emunaso Lishene Afar, and then say Mashiach Paruach Umarad Hageshem. If you're in the middle of the phrase, finish that phrase, and then insert Mashiach Paruach in the middle of the bracha itself. If, for example, you get at the end of the bracha, v'neman atal achios meisim, and all of a sudden you realize you didn't say Mashiach Paruach, you can say it then, but, you have to make sure that me'ein hachasima is samuch l'chasima. The last line before a bracha always reflects the theme of the bracha itself. So a person, for example, said, v'neman atal achios meisim, realizes I didn't say Mashiach Paruach, then you say Mashiach Paruach, Merid Hageshem. Then you repeat that line, V'neman Atleos Meisim, and then you make the bracha of Mechaya Meisim. That's the Mishnah Berurah in Simen Kuf Yadal Sivkotin Chavtes. The Mechaber writes the following Kiddush. Let's assume you finished. You finished the bracha. You finished the bracha. But you didn't yet start the third bracha of Shema Esrei. You didn't start Atah Kadosh yet. Oh, so now you can still salvage. You can say Mashiach Baruch at that time, even La'achar Shesim HaBracha. As long as you didn't start, then Atah Kadosh. If you already started Atah Kadosh, already the time is too late, you have to go back to the beginning of Shemoneh Esrei. So realize, like, these four dinim, that's important in terms of the Chi of Azkara. The fact that indeed is true is that even after you finish the Bracha, you didn't start the next Bracha yet, but you can still salvage Mashiach Paruach, maybe that's an important indicator. Because, you know, there are a couple of ways of understanding what exactly is the role of Mashiach Paruach. One is that it's an independent Chiyuv Azkara. An independent Chiyuv Azkara. You know, it's a fascinating deal. To what extent is Yalav Yavoh a separate Chiyuv Azkara? To what extent is it built into the Nusach of the Bracha? The same Talamata Mata, is that considered to be an independent Azkara? Or is that part of the Matbe of the Bracha, the Berchas Hashanim? But simply the fact that the Mechaber suggests that, you know what, even after you finish the Bracha is over, but you didn't start out to Kadosh, you can say, Mashiach Baruch, Merid Hageshem, maybe that's an indicator that indeed it's an independent Chiyuv Azkara, as opposed to part of the exact Nusach of the bracha of Shevach. Why do we say it in the second bracha? Because it's fitting. Mashiach Paruach is an example of Gvuras Hashem, Gvuras Kishamim, so therefore it's appropriate to mention this Azkara in the second bracha, but maybe it has to some extent like an independent status. Ooh, if you take a look at Tosus and Tainus and Dav Gimel, Tosus writes the following Chiddush, the name of the Yerushalmi, that we don't assume the Sveva Halacha, but Yerushalmi writes, you can even make up Mashiach Paruach in Shema Kaleinu. You can even make it up in Shema Kaleinu. Wow. We mentioned Atah Kadosh, done. Oh, the Yerushalmi is Mufurish, also says. You can make it up in Shema Kaleinu. How do you make it up in Shema Kaleinu? Maybe that's an indicator that it's a separate Chiyuv Azkara. You have to mention Gvuras Kishami. Ideally, the most appropriate place to acknowledge it is in the Bracha Gvuros, but that's not Likuva. You can even go ahead and make it up in Shema Kaleinu. If it was part of the Matbeya of the second bracha of Shmoneh Esrei, how do you make that up in Shema Kaleinu? But the fact that Yerushalmi suggests that you can make it up maybe is an indicator that it's a separate Chiyuv Azkara. And I would say, consistent with that Chiddush of Mechaber, that even after you finish the bracha, you can still go ahead and say Mashiach Paruach as well. Tosus writes in Brachos Chavtes on the days that the Bavli is against that. This Chiddush of Yerushalmi, that you can make up Mashiach Baruch and Shema Kaleinu, that also says is not found in Bavli, and that's against the Yerushalmi, and therefore that's how we assume Lacha, Kuf Yedalit, that you cannot make it up in Shema Kaleinu. Why can you not make it up in Shema Kaleinu? Maybe one could ask as follows. Maybe on the one hand, that maybe it's not just an independent Chiyuv Hazkara, but if it's part of the Tzura Sabracha of Gvuros, and how do you salvage that in Shema Kaleinu? Or maybe one could argue, you know, in principle, I would agree with you, Shalom, that you missed it, you have an opportunity to make up. A person misses the same Talamata. He can make it up in Shema Kaleinu. I have no objection to making it up later in Shemone Esrei. Maybe that's a very good Eitzah, that you know what, that people who frequent Eretz Yisrael, sometimes you're in that in-between stage, where in Eretz Yisrael they started saying the same Talamata, in Chutz La'aretz they didn't start saying a Matar. A great Eitzah is to say it in Shema Kaleinu, because Yimanav Shachman isn't even going to be Yotze. Because when it comes to the same Talamata, you have that option. You have that option of salvaging the bracha later. So why isn't that true? Why isn't what Yerushalmi says is a Devar Pashut? Maybe one could say, what do you mean? The same Talamata, I understand, that you can make up in Shema Kaleinu, but Mashi Baruch is part of the Surah Sabracha, that cannot be made up. Or maybe I can say the following, you know, the fact that I can make up Mashi Baruch doesn't bother me. But you have to make it up appropriately, appropriately. What do I mean by appropriately? A bakasha can be made up in another bakasha. Shema Kaleinu was a broad, broad bracha of bakasha. So if I miss an earlier bakasha, it makes sense that I can make it up in Shema Kaleinu. Shema Kaleinu is the perfect place for bakashos. But Mashiv Ruach is not in the chelek bakashos of Shemoneh Esrei. Mashiv Ruach is in Shevach. How is it that you make up the fact that you missed giving proper Shevach in a bracha of bakasha? Maybe it's just a question of, to use yesterday's shir, Noah, amin v'shein amino. It's not a matter of you cannot make it up because it's part of the second bracha. Maybe it's not part of the second bracha, but certainly it's part of Shevach. The notion that you can make up what is missing in Shevach, in Shema Kaleinu, that's the sheet of the Bavli. That indeed is impossible. That indeed should not be done. But the fact that it's something that is not necessarily, right, an inherent part of the second bracha, but maybe an independent fee of Askara, you know what, maybe even the Bavli could agree to that as well. One of the reasons I stress this is it's considered to be a hemshech, part of the nusach of the second bracha, or is it something which is independent, right? There's a fascinating deal that is it geshem or is it gashem? No? Mashi baruch amori, geshem, gashem. Why is that something which is, perhaps to an extent, dependent on this? When do you have the segel and when do you have the kamatz? No? So, all right. To an extent, we won't wait till Shabbos. Parshas Noach, no? Vayhi ha-geshem al ha'aretz. Vayhi ha-geshem al ha'aretz. Okay, that's Mefurish, no? The pasuk in Zechariah, in Perek Yud Zayin, that v'lo alehem yiyeh ha-goshem, ha-goshem. When do you say geshem? When do you say goshem? No? What we say in Pesukei Dezimra, no saying sheleg katzomer. Why is it sheleg and why is it tzomer? No? When do you use the segel? When do you use the kamatz? So clearly, it's very, very simple. If this is something that is in the middle of, you're not at a sof pasuk, you're not at an asnachta, you're not at the end of a clause, but rather there's a hemshech. The hemshech is indicated by the segel. If all of a sudden you came to the end, so in such a case, that is the kamatz. The kamatz is like an asnachta. That is a sign of transition, a sign that now you've come to an end. So we had Geshem al Aretz. Obviously, Geshem al Aretz is a hemshech. When you say V'lo alem yeheha Goshem, that is the end of the pasuk in Zechariah. That's what's done. That's why it's Sheleg Katzomer. Sheleg is in the middle of the pasuk, and Tzomer is the conclusion of that phrase. So that Bechorah could be dependent on this Dion, right? In that way, because if you're going to argue that it's something which is an independent Chiyuv Hazkara, an independent Chiyuv Hazkara, then Lachora, one would argue that is Goshen. Mashiv Ruach, Morda Goshen. If one is going to argue that, no, we mentioned Gvuras Hashem, and part of the Gvuras Hashem is Mashiv Ruach, Morda Geshem, Mechalkachem Bechesed, Mechayim Esim. You know what? This is all part of a continuum. It's part of a Hemshech. Oh, so in such a case, that is the Minhag of reciting Geshem. So in Lamdus, perhaps again, that the Geshem Goshen issue is really dependent on this. I'll tell you the following possibility. Let's say that Mechaber in Kuf Yudalim, where the Mechaber writes, it's just mentioned, no, you finished the bracha, you didn't start out to Kadosh, but you can still salvage Mashi Baruch. No, there, Lechora, everyone would agree that it should be Mashi Baruch Morad Hagashem. Morad Hagashem. No, there it's a Hemshif. It's a Hemshif to Atakadosh. Certainly, certainly not. When you're saying it in the second bracha Shmoneh Esrei, one could argue, don't stop, you're in the middle of Shevach. But if you're going to salvage it in a way that this is clearly, clearly the end, or if you look in a number of Siddurim, you'll find that in the Shmoneh Esrei it says Geshem, but in Tfilas, that doesn't ring so well, no? In Tfilas Geshem? I guess Tfilas Geshem? Probably when you say Tfilas Geshem, it should be Geshem, no? When you say it there, Mashi Baruch, that Mamish is at the end of the Tfilah, the end of the Tfilah. There, Pashub Shat and Nusuch should be Geshem. Even if in Shmoneh Esrei you say Geshem, because in Geshem is considered to be that which is a Hemshem. In the Tfilah itself, that is the climax of the Tfilah, of Mashi Baruch Mar HaGeshem, and the Chazan stops. The Chazan stops. Everybody says Lebracha, Lelaklala, but not as a Hemshech, as right, the next part of the Chiyuv, of the Chiyuv Haskara. So sometimes you'll hear the Geshem, Geshem, different Menagim, but it's rooted, Lechor, it's rooted in this important, important issue, to what extent that's true. And one of the known yeshivas they're very machted, you have to say Geshem. Like the Gaon, very, very machted, you have to say Geshem. There was once the Rosh Hashiva was, during the summer, he had to have a separate minion, whatever the case was. So the Chazan got up, and the Chazan says, Mashi Baruch Mar Hageshem, and all the Bnei Yeshiva yelled out Geshem to correct him, because the Rosh Hashiva was so machted. Only problem was in the middle of the summer, where that's not what you say during the middle of the summer. but one thing is clear, if you can make a mistake, be alarmed when you make a mistake. Now don't, it was quite amusing. But Rosh Hashiva corrected it, okay. That's the way that it was. So it's important that I'll tell you that is part of the background of. You know, we've discussed when it comes to like Rosh Chodesh, it's an interesting issue in terms of a person, let's say, the Tosfos and Brachos, Chafav and Mebeis, a person forgets Yalav Yavut Mincha. He doesn't remember his mistake, right, until tonight. And tonight's no longer Rosh Chodesh. So if he's going to daven again, if it's before Shkia, daven again and say Yalav Yavo. He's going to daven then, he's not going to make up the Yalav Yavo that he missed. Those are 2 days in Tosfos. Brachos, Chafav and Mebeis. Tosfos is Lo Yarviach Klum. You already davened the Shmoneh Esrei. You're just missing Yalav Yavo. Why in the world would you daven again to make up that which you miss? That which you miss. Okay? And the Rush quotes the Chachmei Favans that's not true. Tosfos quotes as the name of the Rif. Similar case. But what do you mean? If you make a mistake, you're not Yotzei Shmoneh Esrei. And therefore, you have to daven again for the Shmoneh Esrei. So Tosfos says, you know, according to the Rif and according to the Rush, wow, you have cases where you're going to have to daven again, even though you're going to say exactly that which you said. I daven Mincha Rosh Chodesh, right, tomorrow, with tefillah without Yalav Yavo, without Yalav Yavo. And you know what? All of a sudden, the person realizes, oh, that I forgot Yalav, it's the next day. And let's assume for simplest, and next day is no longer Rosh Chodesh, not like Friday and Sunday. Next day is no longer Rosh Chodesh. So you're going to daven again a tefillah without Yalav Yavo? Maybe the answer is yes, I wasn't Yotzei Tefillah. I have to salvage the tefillah. So that's a fascinating deal. To what extent the Chiyuv Azkara of Yalav Yavo is an inherent part of the Shmoneh Esrei, and to what extent indeed is it not? You know, one could just show a similar case when it comes to Mashi Baruch. Maybe. You know, let's assume for example, right, the person, let's say Shachris, and let's say the first day of Pesach, a person made a mistake and he was not Maskir, Mashi Baruch, Mor Degeshen. He didn't make the Askara. Poshub Shach, you're missing, you have to be Choser, Kuf Yadal. Who the Mishnah Berurah writes now? Mishnah Berurah writes in Sivkot and Gimel, Sivkot and Dalet, that since it's already the beginning of Pesach, you're Yotzi even if you don't say Mashi Baruch. That's the Pesach of Mishnah Berurah, no? At that time. Not everyone agrees. If you look in the Minchas Yitzchak, in Chelek Yud, in Sven Mem, Minchas Yitzchak quotes Sefer HaChaim that writes, what do you mean? You have to be chosen. So if a person, let's say, is not Masker Mashi Baruch, right, and Shachris, on the first day of Pesach, you know, so you have to be chosen. So let's assume, for example, the person didn't realize his mistake until afterwards, where we no longer recite Mashi Baruch. no longer recite Masha Baruch. No? He realizes, you know, after Musaf, oh, you know what, Shachris, I made a mistake. Is he chayav to go back? That could depend on this deal, you know, to what extent? Is it part of the second bracha of Shemoneh Esrei? Or is it just an independent chayav Azkara? And only because they're kufya dalet, if you're going to make up the Azkara that you're missing, but if not, then not. That classic yalav yavo shayla, that can also apply to Mashiach Baruch and the transitional day, where I made a mistake and I said it, or I didn't say it, Sukkot Pesach. Right? And if I'm going to make it up, you know, at this point in time, after the Hakhraza, I'm not going to be making up that which I missed. So that could be relevant even to this issue as well. Okay. A very lumdish issue, I'll tell you, is the following. Ooh, what's known as the Psak of Rami Rittenberg, no? The minig of the Niggun in Yeshivas, no? Because here, the Shulchan Aruch writes in Kuf Yudalit, a person is supik as to whether he said Mashiach Baruch, whether he did not. So you know what? The rule of thumb is going to be the following. You know what? What is the presumption? What is the chazak? What is the presumption? So you know what? If I just began saying Mashiach Baruch, I was not in the habit of saying Mashiach Baruch. Min hastam, we're going to assume that b'sir chanukah, and that is that you didn't say it. You just began saying it. So it takes a little while to condition yourself. If, what do you mean, that you've been saying Mashiach Baruch, and all of a sudden now you have a suffix, you know, we're going to assume that you've been saying it all along, so hastam, you said it. You said it as well. So therefore, if you've already developed the habit of saying, you know what? The presumption is you said, and if not, then not. Not that. How long do you have to say it in order to create that habit? That's not so obvious. That really is not so obvious, no? There's some Rishonim and Achram that say 30 days, and there's some Rishonim and Achram that say 90 tefillos. They're not exactly the same. One could, you know, that's an interesting issue. That's the machlokas haposim, and what indeed is the koveya. And if that really is true, there could be a difference between Mashiach Baruch and the same talamata. Because Mashiach Baruch you say on Shabbos, and you say in Musaf, the same talamata, right? You don't say in Musaf, you don't say on Shabbos, no? So the cheshbon can come to an end at different times, depending on whether it's 90 tefillos or whether it's really 30 days. The Gaon writes 3 days. The Raman Darkei Moshe writes 90 tefillos. And, you know, that's an important issue. Mishnah Berurah writes, here in Kuf Yudal, you've got Lamed Zayin, that we treat that as a suffix. And suffix lahakim. You know, and in either direction. You know, whether the cutoff point is the number of days or the number of tefillos. The number of tefillos. Ooh, so the Torah quotes, right, in Kuf Yudal, Marami Rittenberg. You know what? If you want to go ahead and create the chazaka that a person is erasing Mashiach Baruch, and you know that requires a certain habit, does it have to spread over time? What happens if on a given day I will say time after time after time after time the Azkara? Can I go ahead and create that chazaka even on a day? Even on a single day? And therefore, you know what? That will be the niggun on Shmini Atzeres, a niggun that includes Mashiach Baruch, and over and over and over and over again. Now, and you know what? Now already, a chazak is that mistumit made that impression. And therefore, if I'm b'makom safek, I can assume indeed I said that. And I'm sure you're familiar. And many yeshivas, they have such a practice now of the repetition of the niggun time and time again to be able to create the chazaka to avoid, right, any elements of safek. That is from Rami Rittenberg. Where in the world does this come from? This notion. Rami Rittenberg cites the sugyan bava kama and of chav gimel. The sugyan bava kama and of chav gimel is talking about a shor hamuad. It's necessary for the shor to be vicious enough that it's nogeach several times in order now to become a shor hamuad. And if you look at how the Torah describes it in Shmos Chaf Aleph, the Torah says mitmol shoshon. The Torah describes negichos on different days. The shor was nogeach on day one, on day two, on day three. So, you know what? That's exactly what Rabbi Yehuda says. Gimel Yamin. And all of a sudden, Rabbi Meir disagrees. And Rav Meir says the following, that what do you mean? What do you mean? If richet negichos of chayiv, kirb negichos of lokoshkein, it can even be on successive days. If it's on the same day, how much more so? How much more so? Well, the Torah even allows it to be spread. But if it's condensed, absolutely. So therefore, Rav Meir is of the opinion that no, if a shur is no geach at 12 o'clock, and at 2 o'clock, and at 4 o'clock, you know what? That already is considered to be a shur hamoed. And Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Meir says, what do you mean? When the Torah discusses different days, you know, I could have maybe thought it's so spread out, it doesn't really reflect the nature of the shur. The answer is, even, not only, even if it's on one day, another day, another day, even that is sufficient for ha'adah. But kerbling chosav, lokoshkin, wow. And that is the shita of Rav Meir, and that's what Ram Rukin brings cites. That's pretty astounding. That just like when it comes to a shor hamuad, if you can crunch it, how much more so? Oh, the same thing is true when it comes to askara of mashi v'ruach. If you can crunch it, so therefore, how much more so? So if you establish it over time, that's fine. But if you're going to establish it in a shorter window of time, you can create a chazaka, that's going to be considered to be a potent, a powerful, powerful chazaka, and that's the Kiddush. No, that's the shita of Maram Rippenberg. Not so simple, no? Number one, I'll tell you a secret. We don't paskin like Rami. No? We paskin when it comes to ha'ada, you need mitmal shoshon. We don't paskin like that svara. We don't paskin like that svara at all. No? It's like surprising. Rav Meir, in Achinami, Rav Meir made such a suggestion. But you know what? We reject it. That's the horror of the no de Yehuda. Rav Yehuda already points out, we reject this. No de Yehuda is found in Simen Chafav, in Arachayim. We reject this. Even furthermore, when you look there in the Torah, in Kuf Yudalid, the Torah quotes Rabino Peretz, who disagrees with Rami Rutenberg. And Rabbi Peretz writes something very mistaber. Now, I want to know the nature of the shor. Is this a mild shor or is this an aggressive shor? So someone comes over and says, you know what? It poured three times in the span of a month. It poured three times in the span of a week. Okay. Another person says, this shor? I've been watching the shore for one day, and it already gored three times. You know, isn't that a clear indicator, right, of the nature of the shore? Is this mild or is this aggressive? Is it mild or is it aggressive? So I will tell you, if you crunch, that's a greater indicator that this is a very aggressive shore. It didn't take a month for him to cause that damage. He caused the damage in a single day. One after another. Yeah, that's Rav Meir. Keir v'lokoshke. Let me ask you the following. Now you'll tell me, badukum nusa. No? You know what? I want you to know every shear and your fingertips, you know? So I guess you can have two types of talmidim, you know? One talmid is going to pull an all-nighter, right? And he's going to just, you know, safla keturah, you know? And another talmid is going to chazer every shear every day properly, you know? Where do you think it's going to stick? No? What do you think is a better method of chazar? No? The crunch, the all-nighter? Maybe you can argue, maybe for short-term memory, maybe, that's helpful. But in terms of making a mental impression, something that's done over time is less of an impression than something that's done in succession. That's Rabbeinu Peretz. I'm not referring to the Torah. No? Rabbeinu Peretz. Kuf Yadala. You want to know the aggressive nature of a shor. I understand. The shorter the window, the greater the indicator. You want to know whether you're conditioned to remember something. You know what? If you do something tried and true over every day for a wonderful time, the habit is going to stick. If you just do something in a half hour, because that's how long the niggin takes, you know what? That's going to be easy come, easy go. No, you know what? You'll absorb it, and all of a sudden it'll fly out the other ear. No, isn't that clear? No? So, Rabbeinu Peretz writes, how do you understand the Maram and Rittenberg? Of course, one could argue when it comes to determining the nature of a shor, is a shor hamuad, that's true. But if you're talking about, you know what, is the likelihood that it made an impression in my memory, and therefore it's something that sticks, you know what, something that a person does, right, with Ritzifus, right, over time, makes a much, much more lasting impression. Now, that's an important ha'ara. Yeah, okay, it's a tzarachimim, no? On the Maran Burtenberg, but all right, we'll have to address that. So let me start with the following. You know what, that to become a shormud, you know what, you require three negichos, no? We assume you require three negichos, right? There is a Rashi in Bava Kama, the Chav Dalet, that says, according to Rava, you're a shor hamu'ud on the third negicha. Wow, the third negicha. That's really stunning, no? The last line, right? Rashi and Dav Chav Gimel Beis Maseches Bava Kama, and Tosis writes, Rashi Atzma Chazava. Now, Rashi himself is Chazava. But that's not true. This is not a machlokes. You become shor hamu'ud after three negichos, and you're chayiv nezek shom after the third negicha, but you're chayiv for the fourth negicha. That's pashup shav, even though there is a difficult Rashi, and Tosos writes that Rashi indeed was chosen. So let me ask you the following question. How does this relate to a broader question? If I must have some of that. I know that there's machlokes between Rebbe and Shum Gamliel, but how do you establish a chazak? Rebbe is of the opinion that betray zimne habi chazak. Repetition is enough to create a pattern. So something happens a couple of times, that's enough. And Rav Shimon Gamliel argues that that's not true. In order to establish a chazaka, right, repetition is not enough, right? There has to be another episode as well. Betlas zimne habi chazak. Three times are indeed necessary. Three times are necessary. Wow. So that's the machlokes between Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel, whether betray zimne or betzlas zimne habi chazaka. That's Yevam Asdav, Samach Dalet. And you know what? You take a look at that Gemara, unbelievable, no? The Gemara says, I'll tell you nafkaminas, no? The Gemara in Yevam Asdav Samach Dalet is talking about katlanis. A woman marries, and her husband dies. A woman marries, and her husband dies. You know what? Is there a concern with marrying this woman when the woman's experienced such a mazel? No? And if indeed there is, yes, that's a sigya of katlanis. Two times or three times. Two episodes are enough. Or no. That tragedy has to repeat itself three times in order to say, you know what? That don't marry this woman. Already, look what happened to her three previous husbands. Okay? So the Gemara says, that, at least as a starting point, should be dependent on Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, whether betray or tlazimne, have chazaka. Okay. The Gemara mentions the case of Bris Mila, Rachman Letzlah, no? You do a Bris Mila, and a child dies. You did a Bris Mila on the sibling, and the child died. Do we say, you know what, that's mamish pikoach nefesh, do not do the bris milah on any of the other sons? Or do we assume that, no, you didn't yet establish a chazaka? Starting point, Rebbe Shimon Gamliel, trei zimne, tlas zimne, have a chazaka. Well, the Gemara has another case, no? You have a person, for example, that luck of a shana, a person mamish, b'meiz, and violates a lav d'oraisa, and he gets malchus. And he does it again, and he gets malchus. He does it again, and he gets malchus. There comes a point in time where Bezdin really, like, punishes him very severely. Very severely. You know, because we have a koch of makir ronshin shmom and hadin, no? Not just malchus. If we really wanted to stop this guy, we can stop this guy. Kon sinoso lakipa, you know? We'll put him in a room and lock him up and visit him next month. Not like pretty serious, no? If he's muchzak laveira, what is the frequency of muchzak laveira? Is it trei zimne, or is it plus zimne? Havi chazaka? No? Wow. Vestos. Now this Gemara, the Gemara gives you a tour of Shas. Now Yevam Asdav Samach Dalet. Now, for woman to be koveveses, this is when she sees. Is that repetition, or is more indeed necessary? The Gemara says, you know, as the starting point, all of this lachorus should be dependent on how you establish a chazaka. Right? Shor hamu'ud, vestos, katlanis, malchus, mila,
All these cases. Wow. Okay. So, how do we paskin? How do we paskin when it comes to these cases? So the Gemara in the very bottom of some of the days, Maseches Yevam, was close to the Chiddush of Rama, where Rava says, you know how we paskin? It depends. It really depends. When it comes to katlanis, when it comes to ishus, we paskin like Rebbe. Well, when it comes to brismila, we're going to paskin like Rebbe. When it comes to vestos, we're going to paskin like Shem Gamil. When it comes to shohamud, we're going to pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. In other words, it depends. Sometimes you pass like Rebbe, sometimes you pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. Wow. So when it comes to Shur HaMu'ed, then we pass like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel. What exactly does that mean? You know, according to the Rashi Bava Kama Malchav Gimel, it means two negichas or three negichas. Tosfos says, no one says two negichas. So what does it mean it depends on? Oh, the fact that Shur HaMu'ed requires three negichas, is that a klal or is that a yotze min a klal? According to Shimon Gamliel, that's the cloud. That's Shur Chazakas B'chol HaTorah Kula. Three. According to Rebbe, oh, that's unusual, because I would have said that Chazaka really is two. So that's where the Gemara writes like this stunning Chiddush, that you know what? How we paskin this whole issue of Rebbe Shimon Gamliel depends. It really depends. Depends what the case is. Oh, that's okay. Why in the world? Why should that be? Pasim like Rebbe, Pasim Shimon Gamliel. Well, why do you argue that, you know, for this, that? Why should that be? So that's the Nimuka Yosef. In Yavamos Nachaf Men Aleph, in Dapir Riv. When Nimuka Yosef writes the following, you know what? This machlokis, whether Trey Zimmi or Tzlozimi Havi Chazaka, that's a huge machlokis from Shimon Gamliel. And how do we assume the halacha? You know how we assume the halacha? We're not machriya. Safek. So now we have to apply, like, the klalim. The klalim has safek. So what klalim would you apply? Oh, so if you're dealing with the safek nefashos, katlanis, no? We call that nefashos, no? A safek in bris milah, that's pikuach nefesh. In a suffix of pikuach nefesh, we're going to pass from lechumra. Lechumra means, you know, if it repeats itself twice, already stay away. Well, mila katlanis. When it comes to say a shur hamud, what does it mean? The shur damage, it gored twice, and the shur damage. Oh, so is the bala shachayiv nezek sholem or chatzi nezek? No. So how do you pass him? How do you pass him the suffix mamon? So Amos Mechayev means, Mukhi Yosef writes, that you can only be Mechayev, the Baal HaShor Nezek Sholem, after three. Because Safek Mamon is Amos Mechayev, Alav Haraya. Okay, interesting. No? What about a Safek when it comes to Vestos? You know what? A woman has seen on this day, and then she sees, let's say, a month later, you know what? How many re'ios are necessary to create a pattern? Oh, so the Gemara says you pass the Rav Shimon Gamliel. Why is that? Oh, so Mekevash writes a stunning Chiddush. Because Vestel is Sudra Rabbanan. Wow. That's a shita of Rav, the need in that design. Vestel is Rabbanan. And therefore, a suffix Rabbanan is a kula. So therefore, in order to say that a pattern was established and everything changes, you know what? We're going to pass on the kula. You have to have an extra riyah. That's a very great chiddush in Mukhi Yosef. Mukhi Yosef writes that, you know what? We treat the machlokas Rebbe Shimon Gamliel as though it's a safek, and now let's just apply the klali hora. So don't be so shocked that we're going to pass on differently when it comes to nefashos, and mamon, and dinim daraisa, and dinim darabanan. We're just going to paskin differently. There's nothing inconsistent about that. And that's true with typical klali hora. That's the Mukhi Yosef, but realize that that's a real chiddush, right? The Gemara is not telling us that fundamentally there's anything different about this case versus that case. It's all the same suffix, but we employ different klali hora. You know? But realize how, like, stunning this Mukhi Yosef is. I'll give you an example. You know what? I'll give an example. This will also be a chiddush. In order to become a shor hamoed, so how are we going to paskin? Safek. Mutzmer klav harayim. No? So that means only after the third negicha. Well, let's assume the shor really feels bad, you know? The shor comes over to you and says, you know what? I was there yesterday when you spoke to the kol. They said, okay, good, you know what? So I'm going to try my best, you know, gewaldig, you know? Okay, good. So the shor is chozer b'tshuva. So you know what? All of a sudden he has an opportunity to gore. I'm not goring, you know? Another opportunity to gore. I'm not goring. Does he revert back to a tam? Does he revert back? You know what the chiddush should be according to Mukhe Yosef? That if there were two opportunities to gore, and the shor did not, already we're going to say, I'm with Simrach Lavaraya. Because ha'ada is not only true to make you into a shor hamoed, but even chazara from the status of shor hamoed. We usually don't assume that way, no? We usually assume, Rav Shimon Gamliel, the shor has to be able to control himself for three opportunities in order to revert back to the status of a shor tam. You know what I'm going to say, according to the Mukhe Yosef? No. It means that all this is considered to be a safek. And once you get past two, how much of a chavra in both directions? To become a mu'ed and to no longer be a mu'ed, no? Realize that's a pretty stunning kiddush, no? Even though the Gemara says that you need three opportunities for a mu'ed, now that's only one direction. That's only to become a mu'ed. Let's revert back from the status of a mu'ed. Two is enough. Because after two already, you know what the Baal HaShor is going to say now, Hamotzim HaKlav HaRayim. No? Wow. And I only have to, that's a pretty big chiddush, no? Okay. I'll even tell you a further chiddush, which requires a shir, not for now. I mentioned a Gemara Nidin Daf Tezayin that there is a machlokes, an old discussion with the Ristos, is Daraisa Drava. That's true, you know? A woman, right, typically will see on a given day, that vestis, right, that passage of time, and the arrival of a Zman, where likely indeed that there will be a Riazdan. Vestos Daraisa, Vestos Drava. Oh, see, so right, that's Machlokas between Rav and Shmuel. Oh, so Mekesef writes, you know what, that's only a Dindrabana. And we're going to pass the Safek Dvan, there's the Kula. Well, so therefore, to be Koveveses, you require three. You know, if you take a look just as an example, Reb Chaim, Hilchos Yisurei Biyin, Perek Dav Lach Yedeis, Reb Chaim points out just clearly, Vestos is not Rabbanan. The concept of a vesis is a din d'oraisa. This is not Rabbanan. Rabbi Chaim says that's clear. Shvuas daf yud ches amud aleph. The other Gemara says the following important chiddush. Let's assume, for example, a ma'isa bia occurs, and lo and behold, the woman saw dam at that particular time. Was it b'meizit? No, it wasn't b'meizit. It wasn't amazing. But let me ask you the following question. Is it shogeg or is it an onus? Is it shogeg or there's a world of difference, no? Shogeg, you're chayv a korban. Onus, rachmana patre. Is that a shogeg or is that an onus? Shogeg, is that an onus? So it's mefurish and shvuas daf yuches. Mefurish. That it depends when. If this was really out of the blue, there was no reason to assume there would be any riyazdam whatsoever. That's called an onus. That's an onus. You know what the Rama writes about that? Niradea kufpehei, you don't require tshuva. Wow. Tshuva is necessary. What does the Rama write? The Rebbe Gein Lachas Tshuva. Ben bezana ben mishkaga. You violate an aveira, whether it's b'meizi, whether it's b'shog, you have to do tshuva. It sounds in the Rambam that if it was an onus gamor, onus rachmana patri is not just your pachter min onesh. But maybe an onus is not considered even to be a ma'isaver. That's a very heavy issue, no? Is onus a p'tur karban or p'tur onesh? Or does onus mean more than it's not even considered to be a ma'isaver at all? A ma'isaver at all? So the Gemara's Mefurish and Shuas and Afir Ches. You know what? That if this was at an unexpected time, that's an onus. And you're not chayiv a karban, and maybe even the Rama, you're a dead kupehei, that you know what, it's not even called a ma'isaver at all. Okay? But if this was at a time that the dam was anticipated, ashas veses, even if the person was not doing so, b'meizeh, you know, but that's called a shogeg. That's called a shogeg in your chayiv karbon. That's the Rambam of Chushkagos and Heivav. All of a sudden there was dam, b'shas tashmish. If it was b'shas veses, your chayiv karbon. Shlobish veses, it's an ones. That's a dinder rabbanon. With your chayiv karbon and his ones, that's a dinder rabbanon. Rav Chaim writes, Vestelos is daraisa. Vestelos is daraisa. What do you mean it's daraisa? The Gemara says, according to Rav, Vestelos is only dinder rabbanon. You know what Rav Chaim writes? That's a detail, a detail, a detail of Vestelos. No? The fact that a woman has not yet seen dam, my obligation to be porish, because perhaps she will see dam, is that a harchaka de rabbanon, or is that a dinder raisa? But it doesn't mean Vestos is only Drabanan. The Chiyu Prisha, preemptively one could argue, is a Drabanan. But let's assume she actually sees Dam. Whether it's Prisha's Vesta, whether it's not, that's the difference, Daraisa. Whether that's called an Ones or that's called a Shogeg, no? Just as an example, Rav Chaim writes, everybody agrees Vestos is Daraisa. The question is just a technical nafkamina. No, and that is a Chiyu Prisha Samuch Leveses. Is that a dinder ice or a dinder abana? The precaution. But the chalos, veses, that of course is a dinder ice. That of course is a dinder ice. So realize like the chidushim of this Nimuke Yosef, just by example. Now the Nimuke Yosef writes the following. You're talking about a sharmulet? Now the klal is a mozart of raya. Oh, that would have enough gamina when it comes to chazara from the status of mulet, no? The reason we pass in the tlas didn't have a chazaka is because vestos is only dinder abana. Oh, that would mean lagabi the nafkamina vestos only din rabbanon. When it comes to those aspects, the raisa, shuas yuches, we would assume betrays in the avik hazaka, no? Like, realize that how powerful this is. That's pretty significant, no? So, is there any other way of understanding this Gemara Yevamos? Sometimes we hold twice, sometimes we hold three. Sometimes we hold twice, sometimes we hold three. So we get so bothered. Why? The answer is there must be different klalim. We pointed out, but that's such a chiddush that to assume that need is true. What would another option be? What would another option be? So Soloveitchik suggested the following chiddush, that maybe the Sugya Ramazan Samach Dalit is really Me'ikar Hadin, not just an application of this klal, that klal. Really, me ikar hadin. And Rav Soloveitchik pointed out the following fascinating possibility. Sometimes, the only thing that we're interested in is there a pattern? Repetition. Someone experiences something. Is this a fluke? Is this a yotzei min haklal? Or is this part of the klal? Is this something that already can establish a pattern, or is it not? You know what? Maybe the chiddush of the Gemara is. Maybe the chiddush is the following. If all you're interested in doing is to determine whether there is a pattern, or whether this was, so to speak, absolutely random, or no, this was part of a holistic pattern, you know what I'm going to tell you? Treizin me'avi chazak. Twice is enough. If that's the only question. That's the only question. Right? Is this a klal or is this a yotzei min haklal? Is this, so to speak, random? Even though nothing is random, is this relatively random? Or is this, right, a reflection of a pattern? So I'm going to tell you, treizin me'avi chazaka. So you know what? A woman lost two husbands. Maybe that's enough to create a pattern. And therefore, already katanis. Twice there was a bris milah, the children died. In such a case, that's it. That pattern is enough to say this already is considered to be pikuach nefesh. Okay, I get that. The problem is this, though. So why then would I argue when it comes to negicha, but that's not true? Why would I argue when it comes to, I have a shore. I want to know, is this a meek shore or is this an aggressive shore? So, you know, the way to determine that is, was there a pattern of negicha? Was it just something that was mamish yotzim in our cloud? Why would negicha be different? Why would negicha be different? A woman is seen down. Was that something that was mamish yotzim in our cloud? You know, or would we say, no, that follows a pattern? So maybe the chiddush one would have to suggest is as follows, that if all you're doing is creating a pattern, two is a pattern. But maybe in those cases that you require three, you know what the answer is? A pattern is not enough. You need something more than that, more than that, more than that. And in those cases, we're going to pass him, like Rosh Hashanah, that that requires tlazim. So, Rosh Hashanah pointed out the following. It was like, ooh. He told us, take a look at the Gemara Bava Kama Dav Chaf Dalet. There, you know what Tosus writes? You know the way the Torah describes negicha? A shor is nogeach once, and the Baal has to pay. A shor is nogeach twice, and the Baal has to pay. Maybe a shor is nogeach three times, okay, the Baal has to pay. Now the fourth time, the payment is more, right? Now it goes from chatzi nezek to nezek shalem. What would happen in the following case? A shor is nogeach, but the shor is nogeach, a shor shall hefker. Let's say the shor is no geach. Let's assume the shor was like a shor shel hektish. There's no chiyuv tashlumin. Let's assume that the shor is no geach or shor shel akum. And maybe in such a case, there's no chiyuv tashlumin. Tosus demonstrates from the Gemara, Bava Kama Chaf Dalet Beis, the Tosus, Termasko, B'makiri, that none of that counts. None of that counts. You know what you need for ha'ada? It has to be a negicha ha-mechayeves. It has to be a negicha where there's chiyuv tashlumin. So for sure is nogeach, for sure shel hefker, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. For sure is nogeach, for sure shel hektish, that doesn't count. For sure is nogeach, for sure shel akol, that doesn't count. That doesn't count. Those are like unusual dinim. Because the way the Torah presents the ha'adah, it means the shor is nogeach, and you pay chazinezek. The shor is nogeach, and you pay chazinezek. That keeps on doing, all of a sudden, manta is up. Now you have to pay nezek shalom. In other words, in two words, ha'adah requires negicha ha'mechayeves. You know what you see from that? Forget about the why question for the time being. But the what question. You know what you see from that? If you wanted to simply establish a pattern as to whether this is a mild shor, or whether this is an aggressive shore. You think it makes a world of difference whether the shore belonged to Jew, non-Jew, Hekdish, Hefker? Why should any of that matter? But Tosa says, but it really does matter. It does matter. You need a negicha ha-mechayeves. A negicha mechayeves. You know what that indicates? That the parsha of negicha is not just about creating a pattern, a likelihood, oh, a good chance if the show was wild, it'll continue to be wild. It's much more than that. You require like a chaloshem, a shor hamoed, a chalos, a status. And that is only created by a negicha mechayeves. And that is the chiddush of the Gemara Yavamas Daf Samach Daled, that if all you're interested in doing is creating a pattern, a ritzifus is enough. If you're interested in tanning a chalos chiyuv, Nezek Sholin, that requires the Negicha Mechayeves. And I'll tell you something which is really stunning. The Gemara also is Mufurish in Nida and Dafir Aleph. The same thing applies when it comes to Vestos. The same thing is true when it comes to Vestos. Meaning what? I'll just try to make the Gemara simple, and you know, but you'll take a look. Yid Aleph Mund Beis. A woman just gives birth. So during the next window of time, dam that she sees, any dam that she's going to see is tamar. No? That's what Torah describes in Parshas Tazria. No? Woman gives birth, their days of tara and their days of tuma. Days of tuma, days of tara. She gives birth, tuma. After that's finished, there's a long period of dam tomar. What does that mean? There's a limited period of dam toma, 7-14 days. And then 3366 days of Tara. Even if there is Dam, we treat that Dam Tohar, Dam Tohar. Does it make any sense for a woman to be doing a bedika to see if she's Zroa Dam during that window of Tahara. During that window of Tahara. So the Gemara says, of course she should, no? Because even though she's going to be Tahora, but that's still relevant in order to establishing a pattern, huh? A pattern. Good, we'll paskin if that's Tahara. But that should be relevant in establishing a pattern. That's the Gemara's question, no? Why is it that we assume that there's no need for bedika during Yemei Tahara? The Gemara says, Tildog, Dilma Kavav Eses. Maybe a bedika should be necessary not to declare his tummy or tahor, but if you're establishing a pattern, that should still be relevant. If we are going to say that, you know what, the women seize dam every 30 days, in order to make that statement, so a bedika should be necessary even during Zman of Tahara to contribute to the Meses. So the Gemara dismisses that and says that's not true. If the dam that she is going to see is not going to render it as being Tamea, that's not going to count during the Cheshbon of Esaus. That's beforeish in the Gemara. Even if you hold that the same source of the dam after Leida and later is the same, the Gemara calls it Mayan Echad. Wow. So, you know what that means? That means black and white, like Baba Kama Chavdalit. In order to go in to declare a Shor as being a Shor Hamuad, in such a case, you require Negicha Mechayeves. In order to argue that, wow, that this is a Re'iyah that contributes to Avesas, it has to be a Re'iyah Hamitama. It has to be a Re'iyah that results in Tuma. None of that makes sense if all you're talking about is establishing a pattern. A pattern. You know what the answer is? In Nida, it's a chalos. A chalos versus. In Ha'ad, it's a chalos. And that requires negicha mechayeves. That requires a ria which creates tuma. Creates tuma. That was the chiddush of Slavation. Well, it's like, whoa, you have to look at these sugyas though, no? It's not just a matter of different klalim, different klalim. To simply create a pattern, you're right. Ha'ad is not just a pattern. Not just a pattern. That's something which is indeed significant. No? How is that helpful? We're going to have to end a little bit early, you know? But how is it helpful? I'll tell you the following. Rav Meir says this, that, you know what, if you're interested in creating a pattern, Kerev Lakolshkei, Kerev Lakolshkei. Oh, so if it's a shorter window of time, of course that's true. And what was the kasha that we raised? Now, Rabbi Naper, we don't paskin like that at all, no? We paskin when it comes to negichos. It has to be as the Torah tells us, mitmo shulshon, mitmo shulshon. So how in the world can anyone reference, right, Rambam Rittenberg, reference Kerev Lakolshkein? Kerev Lakolshkein is not true, is not true. You know what the Chiddush is? It's not true in Ha'adah. In Ha'adah, it's not true. Because Ha'adah b'shor hamu'ad is not just creating a pattern, but rather, you need negicha mechayeves. The negicha mechayeves, the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, is mitmo shulshon. Mitmo shulshon. And without that, you're not going to be chayiv. But if you're dealing with that which is just a question of a pattern, for example, a pattern to remember Mashiv Ruach Moed HaGeshem, then everyone is going to agree with the Moskal Rishon of Rabbi Meir, the Kerev Lakolshkein. Kerev Lakolshkein. Wow, that would be an incredible Yishuv, that Kasha, the Noda Dira that writes, how in the world is Rabbi Mertenberg? It's a mashal. He's quoting Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Meir is rejected. It's rejected in Ha'adah. But it's not rejected when it comes to just simply, are you not creating the necessary viable pattern? All right, then one more point we'll have to talk about for the next time. About Rabbi Naperitz is brilliant Ha'ara, no? Isn't there no memory or not? You know, the Gemara Daf Chaf Dalet raises the following question. Ha'adah v'shor hamu'ad. Is that Liu de Tura or is that Liu de Gavra? No? Are you trying to assess the nature of the shore? Or is it the warning of the Bala shore? Oh, so that's what the Chacham Shlomo writes, Shlomo Kluger, in the Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Yud Aleph. The Raya of Ram Rittenberg was from Liu de Gavra. Not for Liu de Tura, for Liu de Gavra. Liu de Gavra. And that Liu de Gavra is relevant for the Azkar of Shiburach in the same telemetry. Okay, we'll have to continue with that. Okay.